What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, Playtestee, episode 308. We're back. Welcome back to your awesome life as a fan of the Boston Red Sox and a listener of Playtestee. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at Playtestee, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're all back. The gang's all here. Sammy, Pat, Gordo with you guys. I want to just kick it right to Pat because Sammy and I had 50, 55 minutes or so to just pour our guts out over the craziness that is this Alex Bregman Red Sox situation, how it got here. It involves Devers, how the Red Sox have no plan moving forward, whatever. Pat was at the Patriots game. That's a much better existence, but you're back to reality. Pat, just I'm giving you the floor, man. Give me your thoughts. Alex Bregman gone to the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, in a vacuum, we'll start there. In a vacuum, it fucking blows. It's almost impossible for them to have an A off season at this point in my eyes. That being said, we are who they thought they were. Like, they continuously proved to everyone that they never truly have a gauge on any market, whether it be free agent, whether it be the trade market, whatever it may be. They truly have no idea what the fuck they are doing because it came out from only ultra aggressive offer, blah, blah, blah. And the second that came out, I think everybody was like, aggressive to who? I think we said it. I think everybody on Twitter said it. Aggressive to who? The answer was aggressive to Craig Breslow and ownership. Because that offer, compared to what he got in Chicago, on face value, $10 million difference. People like, you left for $10 million bucks. It has nothing to do with the $10 million. It has to do with everything else in that deal. They were going to pay him for the next... They're basically going to pay his great-great-great-grandchild the rest of his contract because they were deferring so much money out. They would give him a no-trade clause, which credit to Alex Bregman for asking for. Because after Mookie, after Devers, he has outwardly said, I want my last contract to be like end-all, be-all. I spend my career there. With that, it would then be inferred, especially if it's the Boston fucking Red Sox, that you would want a no-trade clause. So if you're signing a five-year deal, you are there for 5 years, unless a team that you want to go to, you have say in the matter, is basically what I'm getting at. So the offer was, in my eyes, I think the Cubs blew the Sox out of the water. Just because the $10 million, whatever. I don't care about that. You're giving him a full no-trade clause in way more appealing deferrals. So that's that. Thank you to Bregman. Thanks for what you did last year. Wish they fucking signed you. On the flip side, I am very concerned about the direction they go now because we'll talk about it today. I have legitimately 0.00% faith that they can sign Bobichet. They will not do that. I know that for a fact. Aside from that, we've seen them panic. Like, they thought they had Joe Ryan at the deadline again because they had shit gauge of the market. And then they pivoted to Dustin May. So, like...
What's wrong with that, man?
It sounds so ridiculous when you say it like that.
But that's the thing. It's like, if Bregman was your plan A and you thought they knew what they were going to offer him. They knew they had this offer in their pocket the whole time. So they're definitely like, oh, once this is on the table, he's back here. We don't have to sweat this at all. And then he leaves because you try and fuck him on the back end of a contract. I am very concerned because, like, right when that came out, Spear, I think it was Spear, Jed McCaffrey, I believe, Rob, I think, also said it. It's like, oh, they'll get creative. We went into this offseason thinking there was a good to very good chance that you were getting one of Joe Ryan or Freddie Peralta or and Alex Bregman or Pete Alonso.
Or both.
You're getting none of those people. None. So far, you haven't spent a dollar in Major League free agency. You traded for a 36-year-old number two. And you traded for... I'm a fan of the Contreras trade. I like the Contreras trade. That being said, if it's not Bo, and we'll get to pivots later, but it's just like... you have to feel kind of hopeless knowing what Craig and company's track record is of pivots. It's scary.
Pat, did that feel good?
It did. I got that all off my chest. Thank you.
Can we go back to something that Pat mentioned right at the top? Gordo, when we spoke about the Bregman situation, it was before that damning report came out about the no trade clause. We really didn't get to touch on that. And I think, and apologies if this is a hot take, that might be the most egregious mistake, aside from Rafael Devers, that the Red Sox have made since Mookie Betts. Because that, to me, is completely insane. You basically lost Alex Bregman because you wouldn't give him a no-trade clause. That's it. End of sentence. How insane is that? And I know it's an organizational policy, I say with air quotes, but they've done it before. Chris Sale, Dustin Pedroia, yes, you have to be at that high level. I would argue Alex Bregman fits that bill. He's a fringe Hall of Famer. He's going to be in those conversations when he retires. I cannot believe that they offered $165 million. He was probably going to take it. And the lack of a no-trade clause or the refusal to include a no-trade clause is why he's not on the Red Sox and went to the Chicago Cubs instead. That is completely insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, the lack of a no-trade clause, like you look in other leagues with salary caps, like in the NBA, no one has no-trade clauses. You have to have roster flexibility in those leagues with salary caps, because if you get yourself in a sticky situation, you got to be able to at least get yourself out of it. In Major League Baseball, there's no salary cap. Like, teams give out limited, full no-trade clauses, whatever, all the time. And when you've got a guy who is sitting there saying, hey, I want my family to feel secure in a location. It's important to me. And whether it was important to him a year ago or whether it's maybe a newfound point of interest for him after seeing what happened with Devers, who got traded in year two of a 10-year deal right under Alex Bregman's nose. He watched the whole thing go down. Like, to me, I don't think it's a crazy ask. If they want to say it's an organizational policy, Sammy, I know you mentioned it. They've given one out as recently as Chris Sale. There have been a couple of regime changes since then, so there's a chance it's a newer policy, but it's a stupid policy. Do you think last year if Juan Soto had told them, I will sign with the Red Sox if you give me a no trade clause, do you think they would have said no?
I mean, I don't know. This nothing they do makes sense. It should be an easy answer, Gordo. But it's not. It's the Red Sox. This is so far beyond insane. The priorities being this far out of whack, caring more about your organizational policy than getting your guy. It's just insane. And how many times have I had to say this? This is not how the best teams operate. Just, I don't know. I have no words. I'm out of words to say on this. I'm flabbergasted, which that's a good word.
Well, it is embarrassing. Like, that's the fact that the Red Sox end up in these spots every single year where it's like, wow, that team just did something that no one else, not even no other big market teams, no one else in totality does. Mm-hmm.
And you know what's funny? I was just about to say, I hope they're embarrassed. But then you think about it, do you want them to turn around and give Bo Bichette like $225 million?
Yes.
Because they're embarrassed? I don't even know what if that
your losses, dude.
No, but listen, Yoshida, they gave, what, $85, $86 million, and he has hamstrung them from doing things for 3 years now. If they go nuts on Bo Bichette and that goes south because they're embarrassed and they way overpay, like, great, you got Bichette, but what if that doesn't go right? It's just when you spend like this and you operate like this, you have all these barriers that you put in front of you, the Boston Red Sox, have put in front of you to make your lives harder – And as a fan, as a podcaster who covers this team, I don't even know where I want them to go. Because like I just said, nothing they do makes sense. You think they're going to zig, they zag. And that is not in a complimentary way. That is in the most derogatory way I can possibly say it.
Usually that's a complimentary thing, but with the Red Sox, it's not so much.
No.
I have a question for you guys. Do we all agree that Bregman was this team's plan A?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Easy.
Do you think that they had a plan B ready to pursue before Alex Bregman left?
No. If they had a plan B, they wouldn't have dragged it out until the middle of July, where all the plan Bs are off the board for the most part.
So what's funny is, Gordo, real quick, the plan B part of it is, from the jump, they said two bats, and then it changed to an impact bat and a complimentary bat. And then once they got Contreras, it was like, okay, there's a complimentary bat. We need a big bat. I think they're now at the point where it's going to be complimentary bat, complimentary bat. Like, it just keeps regressing every time something happens. Like, to me, it's they were on plan like F at this point.
How do you not have a plan B? Again, just the things that make no sense. You don't have a plan B? Like, what? You're having the baby?
I think I asked you, Sammy, this. Let's regroup on it. Do we think that if Pete Alonso were a free agent right now, the Red Sox would offer him as much, if not more, than the Orioles just signed up
yes.
for?
Like if they didn't have Contreras already?
Oh, true. Let's say they don't have Contreras. You're right. That throws a wrench in it. But
155 they offered him?
Yeah.
I don't think they would do that. I think they would say he's a first baseman. This is not what I think. This is what I think the Red Sox think. He's a first baseman, a poor defensive first baseman. He's a future DH, and we just shipped out a DH who is getting paid $300 million. So why sign one for half of that? We are the Boston Red Sox. See, that made no sense, but that makes sense because nothing makes sense. You get it?
The thing that – and I don't know. I think – so we had recorded, Sammy, you and I had recorded the last show before anything really had come out at all about pivots. I think the very first thing that came out was the report from Alex Speer. And when I read it in the article, I ugh, as I was tweeting it. The words were, okay, I'll read the tweet actually. Multiple sources characterized the Red Sox post-Bregman explorations as, quote, creative, end quote, open-minded positionally.
Oh, so
to me, usually when I hear the term creative, it excites me because it's like, okay, I haven't been able in my head to figure out the perfect solution to wherever we are in whatever given year. Like, we need this and that. And them getting creative means that maybe they've figured out a better way than I can think of to do those things. But when I hear creative and open-minded positionally in this circumstance, to me, that just shows that they had no fucking idea what they were going to do if Alex Bregman didn't come back. And they thought for sure that he was going to take their offer, and they got pantsed. And now they don't know what to do. They're running around with a chicken, like a beheaded chicken.
Those two phrases back to back, creative and open-minded, just tells me they asked Craig what plan B was. And he goes, I don't fucking know, man. We'll see what comes across the desk. That's insane to me.
Dude, that sounds like a Hinge profile. I'm creative and I'm open-minded. Wait, what does open-minded positionally mean? Does that just mean you're going to play Sedan Rafael at second base, which nobody wants, or you're going to sign or trade for somebody and put them at their second best position, which is something they've been doing for fucking ever? They just won't play anyone at their natural position. Another thing that doesn't make sense. Yes, Pat?
Has JT Realmuto ever played third base?
he's got a good arm, man. He can handle it.
Okay. Do you guys, with all that's come out, because I think that when the 165 came out, and obviously, Pat, you talked about it, there's heavy deferrals that make the present value far less than that, and there was the lack of inclusion of a no-trade clause. Do you guys hold any animosity towards Bregman with the offers seemingly being probably a little bit when Bregman went to the Cubs, I didn't expect the Red Sox offer to be as close as it was. And to me, I keep talking about how the situation was botched. And to me, the situation was way more botched last year and during the season last year compared to now. Granted, they did botch it because he potentially, it sounds like, reportedly gave them a chance to give the no trade clause, and they said, no, we don't believe you have that in front of you. We'll dare you to do what you do. Do you guys hold animosity towards Bregman, considering the closeness of the offers?
Well, first of all, I think this one's worse than last year because you had a chance to right the wrongs. You could have erased it, but the no trade clause, the refusal to include it, I can't even, what else can I say? Just completely insane. But to answer your question, Gordo, no, I have no animosity towards Alex Bregman. Good for him, man. He cares about his family. That's nice. There's so many guys who just care about the money. Sounds like he would have taken less money if he got the no trade clause, which means that he genuinely cared about stuff outside of that. Might even make me like him a little bit more as a person. He stood on business. He's like, no, I want security for my family. I've got kids, my wife. We want to know where we are for the next 5 years. So, no, I hope he destroys the baseball in Chicago, wins a gold glove, does well in the playoffs, and just makes the Red Sox front office look like the idiots that they are.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of alluded to it, but I mean, how could you be mad at Alex Bregman? It feels like since Heim came, they've just had like this organizational shift where they have to win deals. Like, they're never just making deals to make the team better. They have to, on paper, win the deal. And when I say that, I mean, by not including a no-trade clause with Alex Bregman, it gives them the quote-unquote flexibility to move him if something comes up. And like, sure, dollar amount, it was there. That being said, though, it doesn't fucking matter because they gave Alex Bregman this offer knowing that, hey, this is a win for us if you sign this because we don't have a no move clause. We're deferring your money 20 years, all this stuff. Alex Bregman is not an idiot. Alex Bregman knows, look, if I go somewhere else, I'm going to get a no trade clause. I'm going to get paid way younger for the deferrals. If you could do one of those two things, I'll sign back. And they go, final offer. You cannot be mad at Alex Bregman whatsoever for taking that deal.
No, they called his bluff and they were wrong. I mean, from Bregman's perspective, it's $10 million more. If you go by present day value, it's considerably more than that. You get a no trade clause. You go to a team that has presently a better farm system. The Cubs are among the top, two in the game in farms. Maybe move down a touch after the trade for Edward Cabrera, but that's a top five farm system. The Red Sox are basically smack dab middle of the pack in terms of farm system. And then you got a team that's shown a commitment to winning. Like, the Cubs cry poor every single year. And then every single year they do something. So it's hard to blame them. It really is. So yeah, I don't hold animosity, and it's just, it leaves the Red Sox. Think about it. Like, we talked about them needing to replace Devers money, about 30-ish million annual for Devers. Now you can add the $40 million that they had committed for 3 years. If Bregman sucked, like, he'd be on the hook for $40 million for the next 3 years. That's $70 million annually that for the next 3 years that they had on the books that they don't anymore. And do you have any faith that they're going to spend it?
No. They're going to give Bo Bichette 1 year, $70
million. Yeah.
Gordo, you brought it up. The cherry on top of the shit Sunday is that you got outbid and outmaneuvered by like the single big market owner, aside from John Henry, who is renownedly cheap, like the cheapest bastard. The Ricketts outbid John Henry and were comfortable with it. Like, that is a flashing, neon flashing red sign that something fucking wrong.
Renownedly cheap is that's a funny one, because renownedly is positive, right? But you used it as a
name. I thought it was unanimously.
I don't know if it's accurate grammatically.
But get back to me. Well, I'm Googling.
It's unanimously with a positive like intent, but I like it anyway.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It works, I think.
Do we want to, Pat, you go ahead?
No, I looked it up. Samuel's right. I'm a fucking idiot.
All right.
No, well, I'm a writer, dude. It's my thing. Kinda.
Okay. Let me ask you guys this as we pivot to pivots. If, like, not talking about what's realistic or not. Is Bo Bichette your guys' plan A right now?
By default, yeah, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best fit. I just have no faith whatsoever that they do it.
You're not moved by Bob Nightingale's report that they're gonna aggressively pursue.
Wait, dude, Bob Nightingale just tweeted that the Red Sox are extremely aggressive on Bo Bichette. It's gonna happen. Please,
Sammy. What's the word that you hate? Intriguing? Is that the word that you hate?
I hate intriguing when it's used to describe a player specifically.
Okay, so I have my own word that I now hate, much like you hate intrigued. It is not a report. The word expected in any rumor drives me up a wall.
Fair.
Because it leaves room for like
John Heyman, Bob Nightingale, Jim Bowden, everybody. Feinsand. Alex Bregman, although has large market, expected to re-sign in Boston. The word expected pisses me off. Give me something concrete.
It's plausible deniability. He could just be like, well, I said expected. That doesn't mean it's absolutely going to happen. But Gordo, yes, Bo Bichette, plan A. Do any of us think there's more than a 5% chance, which was the percentage I gave last episode, for the Red Sox to actually sign Bo Bichette?
I said more on the show, but the reason I'm less optimistic now, it's the spirit thing. Like, he went to whoever his sources in the organization are, and they could have easily put out a narrative that would have put Red Sox fans at ease. Red Sox are, yeah, we're going to make a really big play for Bo. And maybe someone told Bob that. But if it were real, like, someone would have told Spear that. But instead, they told him, we're going to get creative and we're going to be open-minded positionally, a.k.a. we're not going to spend $200 to $300 million on young Bo Bichette. We're gonna maybe get a pitcher. Or, like, I don't even – nah, we're going to get creative. And so I don't – like, I actually don't even know what the hell they could be talking about in terms of creativity except for getting a pitcher. Oh, God.
Okay, let me make you guys feel worse. Let me make you guys feel exponentially worse about this. Lay out the scenario with Bo Bichette. We know that on Monday, yesterday, as we record here on Tuesday, Bo Bichette met with the Phillies via Zoom. So he's likely meeting with Dave Dombrowski. Cool guy, well-dressed, slick back hair, great reputation. He
never wins a bidding war.
Yeah, never has won. No, he always wins his bidding war, right? That is what Dave Dombrowski is known for. He's known for getting his guy. So he probably makes Bo Bichette feel special. Bo Bichette, first time being a free agent. Here's big Dave Dombrowski, this notoriously successful GM who gets his guy. Like I said, Zoom meeting goes well is what was reported. Great, fantastic. Now, if the Red Sox even get a Zoom meeting, imagine coming from that Dave Dombrowski meeting, everything I just described. Now you're sitting in a Zoom meeting and Craig Breslow comes on camera and he's breathing heavy like... And he looks down because he's looking at his screen and it's a little bit awkward because you know that he's looking kind of at the screen, but it doesn't look like he's looking at you. And then there's an awkward silence and you're sitting there waiting for him to talk, all while you know he just bungled the negotiations for Alex Bregman, which everyone had the Red Sox as a big favorite to get the job done with that. On top of that, he is backed by an ownership group that everyone fucking hates. How the hell are the Red Sox going to sign Bo Bichette with all of that in mind, with everything that's happened over the last five-ish years or so? How could it possibly happen? I don't think it will.
Well, you'd have to feel better about it if it. Sorry, Pat, but if Bo wasn't expected to go for considerably more than Bregman, like they put the borderline on 165 with heavy deferrals. How the hell are you going to win a bidding war for Bo Bichette with the Phillies, the Blue Jays, and maybe the Yankees?
It's not just the money, though, because with Bregman, the money wasn't that big of a deal. Like, $10 million difference, $10 million is a lot of money, but in the context that we're talking about it in, it's really not. It's, for me right now, the human side of things. And we heard the whole, thanks, Craig, you fucking stiff, that whole thing from years ago, and all these stories about how Craig Breslow had his chopping block when he first got there, and he's just not great on the personal side of things. Now that gives me doubt, as if the money part wasn't enough.
So my thing is, and this is just to put more cold water on the Bo Bichette thing, this is the analogy I will give. Like, it truly is. Like, if Craig Breslow is at a bar and he's talking to a girl, things are really going well. And then Zac Efron, Dave Dombrowski, walks in. You know you're fucked. Like, you're not. That's the best way to describe it. Like, Dave Dombrowski, I don't care if it's for a minor league reliever. If he wants that guy, he is not losing to Craig Breslow. I'll tell you that right now.
And by the way, if for some reason he does miss out on a guy, you know what he has? He has plan B because he's a good GM. Plan B. What a concept. A backup plan. If you fail over and over and over again, you should probably have a backup plan. Even Dombrowski, who doesn't fail over and over again, has one. Why don't you have one, Craig Breslow and Red Sox?
That's what we said last show. It's that if the Phillies lost Kyle Schwarber this offseason, if he decided he wanted to like go home to Cincinnati or something, Phillies fans would have thought, okay, when are we signing Bo? When are we signing Breggy? When are we signing Tucker? What about Bellinger? Like, it's confidence. You know you're going to get one of those guys. With the Red Sox, their fans have been given no reason to believe in those types of things. And to me, I mean, I'm curious, and we'll get back to pivots in a sec, but is your guys' trust in the organization right now lower than it was when they lied about the full throttle thing? Because the next offseason after that was when it – like was last offseason when it got temporarily better. So where was your trust lower? Was it after they backed off of the full throttle thing 2 years ago? Or is it right now after having traded Devers in the name of having Alex Bregman be your third baseman just to let Alex Bregman leave?
That's a tough question because the full throttle thing felt like we were being lied to. This one just seems like they're completely inept. Like they tried, which is a positive, I guess. They tried. But they failed, and it wasn't like it was a long shot negotiation. Like I said earlier, this was Alex Bregman, a player that the Red Sox were a heavy favorite to land. So I don't know. I guess I think the full throttle thing was worse because there was no light at the end of the tunnel. With this one, you could spin it and say, hey, at least they were offering $165 million. But I don't want that to sound like I'm complimenting the Red Sox. They are both incredibly bad scenarios.
Can I give you a rebuttal on the light at the end of the tunnel thing? Because sure. I do agree with everything you said for the first part where it's like, okay, the other 2 years ago, they straight up lied to the fan base. This time, at least their hearts were at least semi in the right place. It just feels like they're incompetent. But to me, back then when they lied, at least there was a potential light at the end of the tunnel. It was, oh, like Roman and Marcelo and any of these kids down in the farm could come up and then they're going to start spending. That's like Breslow said those things. It's like, hey, there will come a time. Now we're at that time and they're still incapable of closing deals. So what light is there now?
Yeah, that's true. I guess the only rebuttal to your rebuttal would be they offered money, which is something we weren't sure they were ever going to do again. But yeah, Gordo, that's a good point. I remember us talking about it and saying, like, hey, once the young guys are up, then they're going to supplement. That was what Chaim Bloom said years ago. So you assume that same organization would have a similar mindset. So either way, they're both awful places to be as a Red Sox fan. I hardly feel different this time around compared to the full throttle thing. So take your pick of shit sandwich.
I was just going to say exactly what Gordo said. I think back with the full throttle thing, the other thing too is that was not a great free agent class. Like that full throttle year, that was like the Jordan Montgomery year.
Teoscar. Corbin,
Teoscar. Yeah. So like there was like there weren't, retrospectively, there weren't a bunch of guys that you could really qualify under the full throttle, but still we were lied to. But Gordo, to your point, you had Marcelo, Campbell, and Roman up and coming. You had Devers in place. You had pieces, and it was like, okay, like once they get here, that's when you can kind of strike. To their credit, they did last year. They went out, they got Crochet, they got Chapman, they got Bregman. This year, though, I would say that there's no light at the end of the tunnel because your prospects who are going to come up and help you, they're up. Franklin Arias is not walking through that door.
And he's not changing the infrastructure of the organization when he does. Like,
and it we've been screaming it from the mountaintops since November. That was the move you absolutely had to make, was re-sign Alex Bregman. They didn't do it. And now their pivot, they don't have one. First off, they do not have a pivot. And it is not nearly as good as Bregman. And then on top of that, there's nothing coming down the pipeline that is, you're like, oh, like, here's our saving grace. Like Roman. Roman was always, when he gets here, like, he is the guy. You don't have that luxury anymore. This is your team. And your team kind of sucks now.
All right. I'm going to ask you guys, be as unrealistic as you can be or want to be. Take out Bo Bichette. What outside of Bo is your favorite pivot plan? And again, you can be unrealistic. Not unrealistic in the sense of like trade for Paul Skeens, but like within reason. You know what I mean?
Fuck.
Dang. How'd you know? My favorite pivot, I guess, trading for someone like Nico Horner or Bryson Stott, who's a glove first guy, and then stacking the pitching with Peralta or Reagans and just really focusing on that run prevention, which it's not a good plan because plan A is out the window. And unlike the Red Sox, there are backup plans here, but they're just not even close to what we wanted. So I guess that's my take, is go with the run prevention, pitching and defense. Yippee.
Yeah, that's the same boat that I'm in. I think that's your best chance of being really good this year. If you can get, I love the Stott fit. I don't know if they move him, but Horner. I like Horner more than I like Donovan. But if you can get Horner and then you give Framber or not Ranger, fuck Ranger. You give Framber like either a 3-4 year deal or like an opt out deal, kind of like they did with Bregman. You just load up the rotation, you stack the defense, and you still need another pen arm. They need a lefty that's not Aroldis Chapman. That's the best route for them to be good. And it's crazy because it's a formula they don't really run a lot. It's a good formula in some cases, but I just don't think the lineup's good enough to work phenomenally with great defense and stellar pitching.
Can I tell you the parts of your guys' plans that I liked? And the part or pivots that I liked and the parts that I didn't. Okay. The part that I did like, Sammy, you've heard me say it a million times on this show. You mentioned the name Cole Reagans. If the Red Sox want to say we are going to get a co-anchor, like a legitimate co, like a second Garrett Crochet, which is what Cole Reagans would do, would be to this team. If they want to go get that type of guy, by all means, as long as he's controllable, because Freddie Peralta, like, come on. Like, we know where this goes if they trade for Freddie Peralta. He leaves for a high bidder next year, and the Red Sox are out even more.
When they've traded for guys, they've extended them. Like, Crochet. There's a shot. They've done well with the extensions. They have not done well with free agents. They've done well with extensions. I don't want to stand up for the Red Sox, but I just don't want to say we know where this is going if they plunge the assets to get Freddie Peralta. Just don't feel like that's how they operate.
You couldn't trust them, that's for sure.
I wouldn't trust them. I'm just saying it's not a foregone conclusion that he would walk. But God, when I talk about it, I don't feel good.
But to me, like it starts and stops there. Like, we haven't heard the name Hunter Green in months. Like it starts and stops with Cole Reagans. And as good as Framber Valdez has been and as consistent as he's been, he's 32 years old. And I'm done with opt-out deals. I'm done with opt-out deals for qualifying offer free agents. I talked about it on the last pod. It was the social clip. I'm done with them. So if you're going to get a tippity top of the top starting pitcher, by all means, lean into pitching and defense. To me, if the move is if trading for a rental, I don't like it. If it's signing like a Ranger Suarez, who like obviously he's an upgrade over what you have. But if it's a Ranger Suarez, like that's not an upgrade enough over the guys you have in the five spot to justify the downgrade from Alex Bregman to whatever bat you're going to get. And I have multiple issues with like the whole Nico Horner, Brendan Donovan, Pat, you brought up Bryson Stott. Nico Horner's a rental and doesn't hit. He hit for the first time last year.
Stott's even weaker offensively.
Yeah, he is. Stott is weaker. All right, ready for this? I've got the three of them OPSs the last two seasons. Bryson Stott's OPS the last two seasons, 695, 91 OPS plus. Nico Horner, last two seasons, 724 OPS, 108 OPS plus. Brendan Donovan, the last two seasons, 766 OPS, 116 OPS plus. So to me, offensively, I understand the whole pitching and defense thing. The Red Sox need a middle of the order bat. I don't care how good your pitching and defense is. If the offense is what it is without another good bat, you're not going anywhere.
Oh, no. Who are you going to advocate for, Gordo? Are you going to say that one guy who strikes out a lot?
I am going to say that even though, and this is with a caveat, if at the beginning of the offseason you told me they were going to end up with Wilson Contreras and Eugenio Suarez as their bats with Alex Bregman walking out the door, I'd have broken my computer screen. I probably still will break my computer screen if they do it, because that just means they weren't creative enough to think of something that I didn't. But here's the thing about Eugenio Suarez. If you add up, I came prepared. If you add up Bryson Stott, Nico Horner, and Brendan Donovan's career highs in home runs, you still end up 10 less than what Eugenio Suarez did last year. I would hate the way the offseason went, but offensively, I challenge the people to find me a better option that is realistic. The only name I will hear is Ketel Marte, and I don't even know if that's realistic. Pat?
So here's – this is just me posing a question to you. Let's say they go Eugenio Suarez. Is what he brings with the shortcomings on defense and the insane strikeout ratio, is that more valuable to you than what on paper could be a top five defensive MLB team in the league?
I think they would still have a chance to be a good defensive team.
No.
Where else? Tell me, where else on the roster, if Eugenio Suarez is the third baseman, what is the second weakest defender?
Your entire left side of the infield sucks defensively.
I don't think Trevor Story sucks defensively.
The numbers don't agree with you. The numbers say he sucks, and he's going down rapidly. And also the yips for some reason.
It was a problem late. His body broke down. I don't think he sucks. I think that's an over-exaggeration.
If he does suck, he's
not great anymore. But if that is the case, you've got a good defensive shortstop. If it became a problem, like, Marcelo Meyer's here.
Yeah, who they don't trust to face lefties, and they want a platoon at second base, probably. Like, that's, I don't know. I don't like that. And Pat, before you go, apologies if this is a repeat for you guys. I tweeted this earlier. I was going through the numbers trying to talk myself into Suarez. I ended up talking myself out of him. If the Red Sox were to sign Suarez, they would have six players in the lineup who have a K percentage in the 32nd percentile or below. Two players in the 12th percentile or below. And if you added up all those players' strikeouts from 2025, it adds up to 895 strikeouts, which averages 149 apiece. So if the Red Sox, this might be a hot take, if the Red Sox sign Eugenio Suarez, they have no chance in October. Zero. Absolutely not a chance in hell. The two things that kill teams in October, poor defense, Suarez, strikeouts, Suarez. The home runs are great, no denying that, but he averages 32 home runs a year. So you could talk about him like he's a 49 home run guy like he was in 2025, but the odds of him repeating that, I'd say they're pretty low. So if the Red Sox sign Suarez, I'll say it again, they are absolutely screwed come October, and we can talk ourselves into it all regular season long. Maybe they win 89 games again, make the playoffs. We're feeling good. Once they get there, same thing as 2025. Run over by a team that pitches better than you, hits better than you. It's over.
The other thing, too, with Eugenio, and you just alluded to it, that Yankee series, they lost because they kept striking out and they could not put the ball in play. If you sign Eugenio Suarez, you are worse than you ended last year. That is the big thing here. You are worse at putting
worse,
the
though.
Ball in play.
Putting the ball in play, or in general?
Everything.
They're not going to enter next season better than they, unless they shock
offensively
and get Bo Bichette.
Like hitting, right? You're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, because you're right.
Yeah, see Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette's a bad defender too. You put him at second, you put him at third. I don't feel good about him defensively either way. But at least he's a good bat that gets rid of that strikeout issue. He gets rid of an issue. Suarez covers one issue and then adds two. Poor defense, lots of strikeouts. The power's good, but it's one for two. I don't like that.
I'd argue that Bo Bichette doesn't get rid of any strikeout issue. It just gets you back to where you were. He's replacing Alex Bregman. Like that's the thing is, like, to me, this roster is not going to be perfect.
He adds less issues, I should say.
There's no avenue to make this roster perfect without them spending money that they are clearly uncomfortable with spending. So it's just a matter of, what do you think is the most important thing to get rid of? Is it the power issues? Is it the putting the ball in play issues? Which usually, like, playoff teams, you'd think would be only deficient in one. Somehow the Red Sox are deficient in both. But are you gonna try to attack the power issue? Or are you gonna try to attack the putting the ball in play issue and run it, that comes along with the runners in scoring position issue? Are you gonna try to attack the defense issue?
I would argue you can only attack the defense and putting the ball in play issue. The power options are out the window. Suarez is not a good option. I'll say it a third time. You are absolutely screwed if that's your solution.
You are absolutely screwed if you enter October without a player who has hit more than 24 home runs the last five seasons.
Okay, why 24? It's arbitrary. But I think
that's Contreras is high.
But I think the odds, hey, one of the guys we interviewed at Fenway said he would hit 35. Don't forget that. But
that's true. And then honestly, he backtracked it when you challenged him.
Well, I was like, well, is Kirk Harris 24? I think the odds of Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, Tristan Casas, one of those guys becoming a big bat is a lot higher than the odds of Suarez just somehow figuring it out in October. I don't know if you guys watched the Mariners. Like, he had that one grand slam, and that's all you see. But everything else was a absolute disaster. He was so bad. And when you're in October, breaking news, that's when you face the best pitching. I just feel like he is the ultimate not a playoff type player kind of profile. I have no interest. I'm at the point where I would almost rather internal options over Suarez, because he just ends it for me. It is over.
Well, here's the other thing is these options, like all three of them, Horner, Donovan, Stott, those are the three we talked about. You're going to have to sink even more prospect capital than you already have to get him. Whereas with Suarez, I don't know what kind of contract he's going to get. I saw something that he's seeking 4 years. God, no, I would never give him that. To me, what I would do is throw an uber aggressive 1 year deal at whichever guys you like the best that don't have qualifying offers. And I mean, this is the punishment you get for losing out on your guy and not being willing to pay Bo. But you got to give yourself a chance to step back up to the plate next year and give it a shot. I don't want to see them like, and I don't want this to sound like I'm advocating for Eugenio Suarez as some savior of the offseason. They're going to stink if he's their guy. Don't get me wrong. I think he might be the best they can do. Not even close to my first, second, third, whatever choice.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
But you got to, at least, if you're not going to put an awesome team on the field, you got to at least give yourself a chance to do it next year. And if there's financial constraints seemingly every year with this team, if you sign Suarez and pay him $15 million a year for 3 years or whatever, like, they're just going to use the same excuses about him as they use with Masa Yoshida and Trevor Story. And have
Gordo, have you seen the free agent class for next year?
I know it's not good.
It's one of the worst I've ever seen. It's so
I know
bad.
It's bad, but like,
I think Jazz trade, might be the number one guy.
He is, but like, trade for someone and extend them. Like, leave your options open. Who knows who's going to break out, and then they're going to be our dream free agent. We don't know what can happen. What I do know is if you pay Eugenio Suarez or anyone on this market besides Bo Bichette multi-year, it's going to bite you. It's going to bite us, the fans, next year when they use it as an excuse.
Yeah, I don't know. Gordo, you'd rather Suarez than a pitcher and a defense guy? Like trade, yes. Trade.
Give me the pitcher. Give me the pitcher and Suarez. Suarez, like, no hitter that they get besides Bo Bichette. Even if they got Bregman, I was going to be underwhelmed with this offseason. Do you understand how far in the hole this team is compared to my expectations?
Do you have any interest? Like, let's say they trade Duran. Like, they get that done for a pitcher, some pitching thing. Any interest in Lou Bob taking a flyer on him?
Where would he play?
DH. Stop being injured.
I'd rather, honestly, it sounds crazy, but like, for some of their deficiencies, I honestly would rather give Masa and Casas a shot.
That's not even that crazy, honestly.
As soon as they brought Casas into it, it wasn't crazy. It was going to sound crazier when I was just going to say Masa.
Not even, dude. Have you seen how bad Lou Bob has been? I love the ceiling. You could dream on what he could be, but he's been really bad for 2 years. I don't think that's a bad take.
I am very afraid that losing Bregman rules out them trading one of the outfielders because they're hurting so bad offensively. I am declaring this right now. I don't think they're trading an outfielder.
I don't either. I'm fine with it too. I think Duran will be fine as the DH swap in at left field with Roman here and there. Like, it's, you can go all offense lineup, take Sedan out for a night, put Duran in center. Like, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. And I think he'll be much better hitting third than he would be leading off. He's going to have guys on base. He'll see better pitching. Duran's good. And I know, Gordo, I know what you're going to say. You're not getting the full value out of him.
I'm not going to go down that road. I won't go down the road again.
You can't trade him anymore. But like I've said, if you're not trading him, then I really don't care if you're getting his full value, whatever's best for the team at that time, because you've pigeonholed yourself into this not so great spot. Thank you, Craig.
I do wonder, because Pat, that's one way to look at it. And that initially that's how I was looking at it. And now I actually don't know how I want to look at it, because I could also make the argument that if they're going to go all in on this whole pitching and defense thing, whatever, like, the easiest way to do that is to make the trade for the pitcher. And like, I think about Joe Ryan and how their lack of willingness to include one of the outfielders last year was why they didn't get him. So what if their move is to, okay, fine, you can have Duran and earlier Toley, and that gets the Twins to move. And we just saw Joe Ryan now no longer going to the Twins fan fest. I have no idea if that has anything to do with anything, Ooh. But I'm just saying, like, that's something that crossed my mind. I have no idea where it's going to go.
There's Gore too. That's one of the guys that actually feel okay about them trading for, because Paul Toboni, he knows Craig Breslow.
The pitchers are all still there, except for Sandy Alcantara, where they just traded Edward Cabrera and Ryan Weathers in the span of a week. So Sandy's not going anywhere right now. Yeah. But I have two questions for you. Any part of you guys in on JT Realmuto, yes or no?
No.
No, not even kind of.
I'm also a no, and not even kind of. I thought you guys were there just quickly.
Hot take. Second, I think Connor Wong might be better than him in 2026, which sounds crazy, but I really believe that Connor Wong was hurt all year last year and was playing hurt. So we'll see how it goes.
I agree with the second part. I don't think he's going to be better than JT Real.
Let's keep track.
Don't you dare make a board bet on this.
No, I'm not that confident. Not confident enough to do that. I was talking to Lou about this. It's like everyone forgot about Wong's 2024. He was so good. No, then he plays the next year. He's pretty clearly injured, gets surgery right when the season ends, and everyone's like, nope, that's him.
I agree with that. He's just not going to be better than JT Realmuto. But your thoughts in the right place, I'll at least give you that.
Okay, fair.
Second question, is there any part of you guys that has hope that the Diamondbacks will allow the Red Sox to reengage on Ketel Marte if they try?
Little bit. I think the Red Sox are hopefully in that mildly desperate mode where they're not going to do anything that will hurt them, but they are more motivated to maybe spend a little actually be aggressive. And Ketel Marte, now that Bregman's off the board, I don't think I'm forgetting anyone. I think that's the best available bat. He's right on par with Kyle Tucker. Definitely. So yeah.
Pat?
I'm going to lean no, because I think for the Diamondbacks, they feel as though they upgraded the major league team. They're paying Nolan Arenado $5.5 million a year in the next 2 years. So they were able to upgrade their roster with spending literally zero money. And if they're truly going to try and win, which they should, I mean, they have a good team. They have a good roster. I think they were able to maximize their lineup while keeping Marte and not breaking the bank. I think they're totally turned off by all Marte offers, trade rumors, everything.
You know what's crazy about this whole thing is, like, everyone's going to talk about Bregman and Devers and all of everything connected there, but them letting Bregman go and not putting forth a real effort on Ketel Marte before he was pulled off the market could go down as close to as big of a fuck up as letting Bregman walk, just because no team lined up better with the Diamondbacks to make a trade here than the Red Sox. But instead of paying for the first baseman and trading for Marte, they've now traded for Sonny Gray. They've now traded for Wilson Contreras. And now you're going to trade even more for Ketel Marte. And now that they've pulled him off the market, to get them to listen, you're going to have to go even higher than you did before, because you don't have any leverage and they have all the leverage. So I don't think they wouldn't listen, but I think if you were going to be able to get him on a deal based around pitching before, now it's going to have to be pitching and Marcelo Meyer. And I don't think the Red Sox should do that. So
yeah,
I think you missed your boat on Marte.
Classic. Great job, Craig.
Yeah, good job. Enough said, guys. Got anything?
Yeah. I had the greatest Chipotle run of all time. So I got back late, had to eat dinner, went to Chipotle. Nobody's in there. I get my slop bowl and I go to pay and the guy cannot get the register to work. And he's like resetting it. It's digital. So he's like resetting it. It won't scan my card, resetting it. I'm waiting there. And then he's like, hey, man, do you want some of the chips? We're going to throw them out anyway. And I said, yeah, sure. And he goes, how many bags do you want? And I said, I'll take two of them. So he gives me two large bags of chips. I'm trying to be like a little bit healthy. So I only took two. Like in December, I would have had five. But two bags of chips. I'm like, great, still waiting. They can't get the cash machine to work. And then he just goes, do you have cash? I said, let me check. So I opened my wallet. I got 10 bucks. And I got double beef, by the way, or double protein. So this is like a $15, $17 Chipotle meal. And he goes, that's fine. Just give me the 10 bucks. You're good. So I got double chicken Chipotle bowl and two bags of chips for 10 bucks cash. The best Chipotle run of all time. I was so happy. Just made my day. So shout out to the Cleveland Circle E. coli Chipotle.
Pat, you got that said?
Do I have? Yes, I do. I have been to multiple Red Sox playoff games. I have been to multiple Red Sox Yankees game. That being said, being in Gillette Stadium when you're loved by the outfield plays and they have a lead is probably like a top three environment in Boston sports. That place was going fucking crazy. Milton Williams sacked Justin Herbert to end the game. And it literally felt like an earthquake. Like, it is going to be so hard for teams to come into Gillette and win a road game. And I am thrilled.
Question for you, Pat. I know they closed off the bowl, like at Gillette. If you've never been there, they had this area where there were kind of like grass and trees. So it wasn't a stadium that was completely like a filled in bowl, yeah. But they added the Jumbotron and now it's a full bowl. It's closed off. Is it louder? Cause it sounds louder.
It is so loud. Like I was with my aunt, uncle, and my other uncle, and I was like leaning in to talk, screaming to like have them be able to hear. Like it was so, and like the coolest part of it was, honestly, aside from halftime, no butt hit a chair the entire night.
Love that.
No one sat down the entire night. That place was on fire.
You know what's dope about the Patriots is they were pretty bad for a while, but then they got their young, talented guy, Drake May. And when they got their young, talented guy, they said, hey, we got to supplement this guy and put some talent around him. So they spent money, and now the Patriots are one game away from the AFC championship. How about that? That's a hell of a concept that the Patriots, who are the most successful team in the NFL over the last 25 years, are using. I wish every team in town would use this logic.
It wouldn't have been their fault because obviously they've overperformed massively this year. But can you imagine just how down in the dumps we would have been as a city, as a New England region, if Alex Bregman left the Red Sox and then the next night the Patriots got bounced?
Oh my God.
Thank God for the Patriots winning that game. I was sitting there before the game thinking like, oh my God, like a lot of mental health hinges on this one. We definitely need this one more than the Chargers do.
Yeah. I still kind of haven't wrapped my head around how good the Patriots are. Like, I keep trying to talk myself into, oh, they're not that good, but they really fucking are. They have no glaring issue. Even their biggest issue, what would their biggest issue be? Like red zone offense?
Pass rush.
Yeah, except for against the Chargers O-line.
Yeah, Chargers. And then Houston's O-line isn't good. That's who they're playing next. Like, this team is fucking, they're so deep at receiver too. Like there's no, I guess Diggs is a one, but he's not prime Diggs. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun to watch.
What's super cool is if they win against the Texans, Mac Hollins comes back for the AFC Championship game.
Is he just eligible to come back, or do we know he's coming back?
I think he's eligible, but what he went to the IR for, he should be back.
Sick.
Okay. That'd good, good, good. Yeah, he's the biggest body receiver, so they need like a guy like that.
And
love
it. He's a good car mechanic too, and he walks around in bare feet. So
he knows what a dung beetle is for sure.
Oh, definitely. 100%. My enough said is I don't have it up, and our producer Joe is producing WEI right now, and I can see that he's not looking. So if you haven't seen it, the David Ortiz Masked Singer video, go watch it. Must yes. watch. I was in tears laughing at it. That's going to do it for episode 308 of Play Test. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll be back on Friday for a Who Says No Friday. Sammy will be up with this one. I could see him. He's looking very excited. I'm excited to hear it, Sammy. We'll be back in a couple of days. But till then, for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessie episode 308. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.